don't look at your watches and have a heart attack. I knew today would be a service with a lot of variety. We wanted to have the program, of course, and we knew Kevin Abbey would be back and wanted to have quite a bit of music. Often people snicker when I say this, but this time it's really true. I'm not going to talk a long, long time today. Where the time, where the way of the holiday season. I actually had a message prepared today with a clip from David Wilkerson a number of years ago. I've always appreciated David Wilkerson. He's gone to be with the Lord. He's a man over the years. I've not been a big follower of big name people. I don't mean that in an independent way or anything. I just really haven't, like some have. You know, I just haven't been. There have been people over the years that have caught my attention due to the way they presented themselves and the lowly spirit that they had and the way they even operated their ministries. And David Wilkerson has always been meaningful to me. I believe he was a modern-day prophet, prophet's anointing, and he's gone to be with the Lord. I had a segment of a message for of a few minutes, and I was going to tie onto that and talk about the remnant. And I'm going to use that another Sunday. In the middle of the week, I felt, and God knows how a service will go, but I felt that I needed to go back to something that I had talked to you about, and I believe this is for this Sunday. And I believe that this is specifically for someone. I believe everyone can benefit from it. It's not. I'm not going to talk a long time. But a few weeks ago, it's been 8 or 10 weeks ago probably, I started a message with a quote, actually from my brother-in-law, Jess. And I felt midweek that God spoke to me a little stronger than usual. I always wait for that spark of inspiration on a message, but I felt God spoke to me stronger than usual. And said that he wanted me to go back to that statement and talk to you briefly this morning about 2015 and God-ordered decisions. As I work with people over the years, more and more, as I analyze and study and chew on problems and think, and my role is changing some. I'm working more with leaders than I used to. Influence the influencers, my new season. But when I take the hours in the last 31 years as a full-time pastor, and even before that, working at Kroger's, I certainly didn't have a degree behind my name, but the manager at Kroger's used to say, you don't know it, but you're the store counselor. Well, that was quite a compliment, because to be honest, educationally and all of that, I certainly wouldn't have filled the bill, and don't know that I even received that compliment at the time. But God did use me as a witness there at the workplace. And I have spent hundreds and hundreds of hours listening to people. And what I have realized is that we rise and fall on our decisions. And this is a world where people get themselves very much in a mess very quickly with bad decisions. And I'm sure if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many have been through reaping, whether it's yourself or in your family, from bad decisions, probably most everybody, if you're honest, would raise your hand. And I am concerned in the body of Christ, because as society gets faster and faster in the pace of life, as we become more cluttered with all the media bombardment and all that's going on, we become more overwhelmed, we become more mentally tired, we become more susceptible to bad decisions. And bad decisions, the devil will walk you into. You can seek to follow God with all of your heart. If you don't stay attentive to God and to His Word, take your time with Him, the enemy will be trying to walk you into decisions that have bad consequences, decisions that are costly, decisions that are painful to yourself and those around you. And my brother-in-law said something to me when we returned from Haiti. And he said, I don't want to make any decisions. I don't want to make any decisions that will hinder the will of God in my life. And that particular time, he was telling me about an incident in his own life, and I told you this 8-10 weeks ago. I'm going to repeat it this morning. I'm not looking for something to say and digging up old sermons. I believe this is for someone specifically. I feel that deep in my heart this morning and don't know who or why. He's done some traveling, he and my sister Miriam, with Pam and I, and we've motorcycle traveled, and we have had blessed times. I mean, if I were to say times of my life that have been right at the top of what I've enjoyed, it's been trips with Miriam and Jess on motorcycle. We've just had awesome time. And Jesse, the beginning of this last year, was weighing out buying a new motorcycle. Now, We all know that, you know, God has given us all things richly to enjoy, so if it's the right thing, there's nothing wrong with owning a new vehicle of some kind. Certainly there, so don't shut me out reading anything into this example. This is Jess talking to me. Jess is a mature Christian, been a Christian for years and years and years and years, and in his mid-60s. And he said, "Tom, I saw where the enemy was trying to get me off track." He said, "Early last year, I wanted to buy a new motorcycle, and that could be a good thing. His motorcycle's getting pretty well worn out, and we had hoped to do some more trips together, and so that's a positive thing. I guess I would have rooted for that. I would have said, yeah, Jess, do that, and then we'll plan a trip every July, and Pam and I and you and Miriam can go off. We love to go out west, and nothing speaks to me like the Rocky Mountains, and we've had precious times there." But he said to me, he said, "I realized that the enemy was in that decision." And he said, "I'm so thankful that I did not do that, because had I gotten the motorcycle that I wanted," and this is a mature Christian man, "had I gotten the motorcycle that I wanted, I would have not been able to make the trips to Haiti that I have made with you. And I would have missed what God wanted me to do." And then he made the statement, and I remember tears coming to his eyes, and he said, "Tom, I don't want to make any decision that would hinder the will of God in my life." The enemy's a schemer. We know that from Ephesians 6. He watches us. He studies us. And you can be a Christian that dearly loves the Lord with all your heart, but that'll make him even watch you more. And if he can walk you into a decision here that is innocent, a decision here at point A that is innocent, that will get you off up here, because he's clever. He's not wise, but he is clever, for wisdom comes from God. And he has an idea in watching. He doesn't know the inside scoop, because the secret of the Lord is with the righteous. So he doesn't know the inside scoop, but he's clever enough to watch and recognize that you're going a certain direction and that God may likely use you in that direction. And so if I can veer you off, I will. And I think we get derailed far more than we realize on bad decisions. And I've spent hundreds of hours talking to people only to realize that this mess that you're in started with a bad decision that was made too quickly, that wasn't made under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that was not made after prayer. So this morning, we're not here trying to capitalize our hobby horse on minor details. We're opening our eyes to a profound truth that the enemy isn't probably going to, if you're a devoted Christian, he's probably not going to tempt you to hit the bar this afternoon. But he will attempt, if you have drinking in your past, to get you in a frustrating situation on your job, to get you overwhelmed, because he knows then you may seek comforts of the past and ultimately compromise. And he knows it's going to take 2.5 years to do it, but he's had 6,000 years experience watching every person. And he'll study and watch you. And please don't be offended at this, but I'm at a stage in my own walk with the Lord, and my eyes have been opened enough that I see people run into the same pole all the time. They run into the same pole all the time, and it grieves your heart. I don't say that critically. I'll go to prayer for somebody, and I'll say, "Lord, they did it again. They bloodied their brains on the pole, and then 2 years later, they ran into the same pole again. And their life ends up in shipwreck and in a mess. I don't want to make any decisions." I begin praying that my own life, "Lord, don't let me make any decisions that will hinder the will of God for my life." The truth is that 2 years ago, we were getting started here at CMO, and God gave me lots of vision. And then as we began, some surprises came, and we reconnected with Haiti, and Kevin and Abby felt a strong, authentic, true call from God to go to Haiti. And I visited and felt I was to reconnect, and I had to kind of sort through some of that. "Lord, what is that of you? My father was here. There's family attachment. How much of that is you?" Only to realize that God did put that under our umbrella, but it was too much for me. And I badly needed Jesse, who has roots in Haiti and did some missionary work in Haiti. And after 30 years of being there, still has a deep burden for Haiti. And God knew that he was going to lead us into the formation of a new board, and Jesse to be the vice president, and Jesse to shoulder a lot of the load. So what does he do? Let's get Jesse off track financially. Let's get Jesse over here in an innocent thing that could appear to be a good thing. And let's get Jesse off track over here so that he'll be unable financially to visit Haiti, because after four visits, God spoke to his heart and said, he said to me with tears, he said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do for sure, but I know I'm supposed to help you. Well, that matched, because I was saying, Lord, we want to develop CMO and our first responsibility is here, but you seem to have given us this mission outreach. How do we do this? And I felt initially there were some things I needed to do, but then I was like, Lord, who is going to be the people? And God was speaking to Kevin Summers, up a friend from years past that I hadn't seen for years, up at Elkhart, and speaking to Jesse, my brother Jim, now becoming an active member on the board, who's retired as a minister. And God was preparing those men's hearts. The devil is out to trip up our decisions because he wants to mess up the will of God. As I thought on these thoughts this week, I argued with myself, probably with the Lord actually, and said, Lord, this is the week of the Christmas program. This is the week before Christmas Sunday. This isn't very fitting for this morning. Lord, Jesse's quote from 8 weeks ago doesn't really seem to fit Christmas Sunday. And then God spoke to me and said, oh, doesn't it? The Christmas story is a whole series of decisions that, had they not been made right, would have changed all history. God spoke to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a son. His name's John. And Zechariah had a decision to make. And Zechariah wavered. And Gabriel, the angel, brought on muteness. He couldn't speak when he came out of the temple. He couldn't talk. And they were questioning what happened. Had he seen a vision? What had happened? He had a decision to make. But he came through and he repented of that doubting. In fact, when they were going to name John the Baptist something else, he didn't say, I'd like you to name him John. He said, his name is John. It's already decided. The Christmas story is a series of decisions having to do with God's perfect will that brought us redemption. Don't think this God's will thing isn't important. And then there was Mary, who had a huge decision. It's a whole story of decisions. It's all about decisions. And Gabriel came to her, a peasant girl. What would you think if you were a peasant girl, a little skinny, scrawny Israeli girl, and Gabriel stood before you in white? First of all, I'd think, now, wait a minute. Hello? I don't think this is probably really an angel. I'm imagining this. And said, you'll bring forth a child, and his name shall be Emmanuel. He'll God with us. His name will be God with us. And you, being raised Jewish, would realize, oh my, this is no way. This is the Messiah. But when Gabriel got done giving that wonderful announcement, her response was, behold, the handmaiden, the humility. The handmaiden, the one who just waits on you and brings you Kleenexes. That was a Jewish handmaiden. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. And it's amazing when we make the right decision and come with a humble spirit and say, Lord, I need your help, how powerfully God will bring his will about. And then, of course, there was the wise men that had a huge decision to make. It is, in fact, a Christmas story, a story of decisions. There was the wise men who were threatened by Herod. What would you think if the king of all the land told you, I want you to go find the baby and come tell me so I can worship him? And God warned him in a dream and said, no, 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 because God knew that there was going to come a killing of the babies, every baby up to 2 years old, a mass killing, which had been prophesied. And the Magi made the decision to go back another way and avoid Herod. The Christmas story is, in fact, a story of decisions, one decision after another that would have changed things in history. Joseph had a huge decision. Mary was with child, and they had not yet been together. There had been no relations between them, but she was with child, and he was troubled by that. And he said in his heart, what am I going to do? And God spoke to him and said, don't fear to take her to be a wife. And he made a decision to take her despite public opinion, despite the viewpoint of society, to take her as his own wife and cherish her and love her and become the stepfather, not the biological father. God was the father, for what she conceived was from the Holy Spirit. Powerful, powerful truth. All history could have been changed by different decisions. May I say to you that your history has been changed and altered by decisions. My history has been changed, and my future will be affected by decisions. Now let's come back off the Christmas story, if you can adjust, and come back in a very personal way. Seems profound to me that Jesse, walking with the Lord for near 40 years, I think possibly 40 years, a man who has proved himself to be a godly man and has been such a friend and bosom pal and strength to me. It's amazing to me that he had the insights to see that the enemy was trying to get him to make an innocent decision, even possibly what would appear to be a good decision. But it would sidetrack the will of God. Uh-oh, that didn't change. I'm not sure the reason for that. I have written here bad decisions, the scheme of the enemy. Innocent, harmless, even good things that the devil walks us into that are the first step of getting us off track and getting us out of the will of God. Thank you, Robbie, in our life. That thing that the enemy wants to get us off track. I believe I used this example. I'm going to use it again a few weeks ago. Don't be offended. Be open to what I'm saying. I'm on to something. It would be easy in this message to think, it's getting into our territory. He's too specific. I'm talking about a bigger issue. Sometimes it's the right thing. I think Pam and I were supposed to get a new motorcycle. When my cancer was over, God spoke to me in the hospital. He was going to touch me, and you prayed for me. And one prayer I had, I said, Lord, if I bounce back from this and you touch me, I would like to show Pam some of the country we haven't got to see, do much traveling. We grew up and didn't have money to take the kids very far on vacation, and I wanted to do that. So I think that was the right thing. But a few weeks ago, I told you about the couple who came to church and developed as Christians and began to walk with the Lord and grow in the Lord, and they were getting very solid. And one Sunday they came up to me and said, Pastor, and they were excited. They said, we don't have enough family time. We need to spend more time with family. And we bought a new camper. And I got to be real honest with you. I tried to smile, but my inside, inside you just sink sometimes? And I tried to smile and enjoy their joy. But I knew what that would mean. I knew that every weekend it would take them out. And that in fact was a scheme of the enemy. And that is exactly what happened in the weeks that followed. Oh, it was wrapped and packaged as a good thing. It was wrapped and packaged as a very good thing, that this could even be good for our family, but the scheme of the enemy, I don't want to make any decisions that will hinder the will of God in my life. The will of God right then in their life, they were getting involved in the church, they were starting to grow, they were developing, and they needed to be here. They needed to develop Christian camaraderie. Then there would be a time and a season where God would minister greatly within their family, but the camper took them another direction, and before long they joined a camping club, and before long they were never at church anymore. And they ended up falling away from the Lord. Is there anything wrong with? No. I think the Lord gave us a camper one time. A time of our life where we didn't have a lot of money to go places. And I was praying, Lord, I want to do things with my children when they're little. And a couple gave us a nice pop-up camper. A nice camper. So a camper can be a very good thing. I'm just saying, whether it be sports, whether it be kids' activities, whether it be the quest for a new home, and that can be a wonderful thing, and that can be a gift from God. A new boyfriend, on and on and on it goes. A business, on and on and on it goes. We've had some things we've done right in that, but we've had some things we haven't done right. And I've looked back and seen some things in my life where I realized that the enemy schemed. And I made decisions that weren't in line with the will of God. I don't want to do anything. Oh, thank you. Bad decisions. The schemes of the enemy. Innocent, harmless, even good things that the devil walks us into that are the first step to getting us off track, getting us out of the will of God for our life, and even heading us for backsliding, heartache, and disaster. We've been talking about the process. We've kind of been in a season in the messages and the mentoring group and in Bible studies. We've kind of been in a season where we've been talking about the stages: servant, friend, son or daughter. I had a message 2-3 weeks ago about sonship, the awesome privilege. And I talked about how most people in the American church stay in the servant mentality. And they never move to friend. It's awesome to become the friend of God. But then there's another level of sonship. And for the last 10 years, I shared with you in my own life, God's been walking me into a fuller understanding of sonship. There's privileges that you have as a son that you don't have as a friend. There's authority that you have. You go all kinds of directions. We've been talking about this in the mentoring group with excitement. And I sense there's a season we're in where there's a hunger. And I'm excited about that. We're in a new season here. And we're past the birth pains. And we got a bouncing baby boy here. And the ministry is growing. And I sense a hunger. And it's exciting to me. It's exciting because I believe there's people that want to buy in. They know that there's privileges of being a servant. They know it's awesome to be a servant of God. But yet, to be a friend is yet a closer thing. And I see a hunger in many of you. And there's some of you that have gone friendship. And you have been a friend to God. But you hunger for sonship. And that's the will of God for each and every one of us. But I want to tell you that this topic this morning is key related to that. Because when the enemy sees within you or you vocalize, which he hears, he's the prince in the power of the air. When he hears you say, I'm going to be a son. I humbly say, I want the authority over the enemy that comes as a son. A son has more authority. If you come onto my property to hunt and somebody, the neighbor man says he doesn't let you hunt there. And when you pull up, Scott or Kevin are standing there or Tommy or Alan, they're standing there at the end of the lane and you say, hey, I was thinking about hunting here. And they say, sure, come on, you're welcome to hunt. Somebody stops you. You'll say, wait a minute. One of the Robbins boys told me I could hunt here. Well, that's a son. You recognize that's a son. There's privilege in sonship. There's authority as a son and daughter of God. And when you start voicing to God, and some of you are that I want to be a son, I want to be a daughter, a servant is a great place. And there's a sense in which we're always the servant. Let the greatest among you be the servant. But you move to the friend of God where there's a bosom companionship and a sharing. But then, Lord, I want to go the next step. And that's what I want to see instilled within your own heart. When you make that decision, the devil will begin watching you because he does not want you to go there because you have authority as a son or daughter. And he will walk you into every decision, even good things, if he can, that are the first step of getting off track and veering you away from what you want to be. Where'd the iPad go? Can you go to the next page, please? Goal for 2015. Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate you fixing that for me. Goal for 2015. Good God-ordered decisions. I'd like to see this congregation step up in this area. Let's make good decisions. I often tell the church board when we meet the first Thursday night of the month in here that I often open the meeting with saying, guys, we're living the decisions we made a year ago. So if we don't like them, if we don't like what's happening, we need to look. We're living out the decisions we made a year ago. And decisions, we rise and fall by our decisions. And I see Christian people, well-meaning Christian people, sometimes making horrendous decisions that then have such consequence. Our life is formed and ordered by our daily decisions. Pastor Bishop used to say, and we'd look at him kind of amazed, it's such a simple thing, but it's profound. He'd say, you're making life. You're making life. And we'd kind of look at him like, what do you mean? And he'd say, what you decide to think, what you decide to say, what you let your mind dwell on in the next few minutes, you're making the moments of your life. You're making the next hour. And as hours build on hours, you're choosing every moment what you'll think, what you'll do, what you'll say. You're making life. I don't like my life. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. Keep making the bad decisions. Keep choosing the wrong thoughts. And I don't like my life. The Bible says I want to do a new thing. And I believe God wants to do some new things within us. And I encourage you in 2015, make good, God-ordered decisions. Our life is being formed and ordered by our daily decisions. We are making life. And I have 4 points that this isn't a foreign thing to any of you. 4 points that I leave on the wall, and I'll be closing just directly. Prayer and quiet time. If you've strayed from that and you're not doing that, this nobody's exempt from this. You need your time with God. It needs to have a character of you and God. It isn't to copy me. It isn't to copy anybody else. But you and this pace of life that we have, especially in American culture, in our noisy world, you have got to have quiet time with God so that you can tune in Listen, there's all kind of frequencies in this room. You and I both know that if we have TV, computer, radio up here, we can tune in 100 things because there's all kind of waves going on, but we got to get on the right frequency to hear the one we want. And you can't, that's not an on and off switch. It takes a minute to find that, and you've got to settle, be still, and know that I am God, Psalms 46:10. And as simple as that is, I've been hammering that for 30 years, and I'm going to continue by God's grace till the Lord comes to hammer that. In 2015, take your quiet time with God, prayer and quiet time in God's Word. And I think in our day and age, it isn't just prayer and God's Word, but I think you just need to be still sometimes. You just need to settle. Sometimes I'll start on my walk, and I'll say, Lord, settle my heart. Because decisions are born out of the quiet time. And let me tell you what's going to be happening. Don't you fear. Don't you fear. Yes, I've spent 20 minutes talking about the warning of be careful. But if you spend your time with God, the Holy Spirit will begin walking with you. And you will feel checked on a decision. You'll stop in at the dealership, Jesse, to buy your new motorcycle. He told me this happened. And as he looked at him, he said, I just would go home and I had an uneasiness. Anything wrong with buying a motorcycle? No. No, not if you can afford it. And if it's something that'll be helpful. No, I think Pam and I were supposed to get ours. God knew that Jesse was borderline financial situation. If he were to buy a new vehicle, he wouldn't be able to go to Haiti 4 times. He wouldn't be able to help in this ministry, which ultimately helps all of us, and wouldn't be able to do the things that God has called him to do and be the great foundation assistance that he is to Kevin and Abby. For Kevin and Abby to be in Haiti and have their Uncle Jess and Uncle Jim Father on the board, there's some advantages in a third world country, those things, but you see how the enemy way back here, innocent thing, tries to get us off track, and it can be in 100 different areas. We just happen to pick the one that Jess referred to. And it's in your prayer and quiet time that the Holy Spirit will check you, and you'll just have an uneasiness. If you won't be still, you'll run right over that. Well, sure, I got $22,000 line of credit on American Chase Bank. Well, sure, I'll take that one there. And give me some accessories. I think I got some more on my Discover I can use. I'm not trying to be cute, but this is an epidemic. Yeah, it's an epidemic. People get themselves in absolute financial messes, and then they have to work all the time. And then they can't get into church services. Their attitude starts going downhill. Stress starts between their family. So there's the balance to be found. Do I know, am I wise enough to know your balance? No. Don't come ask me. I don't know, but I know someone who does, and I know that time with God alone, he'll check you, and you'll have an uneasiness, and they'll come along, and something will come along, and you just have, I've had it over and over and over and over, and if you walk with the Lord, you've had it as well. I've had things, I didn't know why, I was just uneasy with it. I just was uneasy. Listen to that voice. God will walk you carefully into good decisions, and then 2 and 3 are points. That isn't a typo, type error. Patience. We need that on there twice. Proverbs 14:29 says, a hasty spirit sinneth. Patience. That's something we have very, very little of. I've been praying for patience. Now, the Bible says that's a risky prayer because the Bible says that the trial of your faith works patience. So when you pray for patience, sometimes there's some trying things that'll come. But patience is so critically important. That's why it's on there twice. And then 4, seeking godly counsel. How many bad decisions are a result of our pride and unwillingness to take instruction? How many bad decisions are a result of our pride and unwillingness to take instructions? Now, you know, I have people come up to me all the time, tell them God told them to do something, and it was some dynamic revelation. Let me tell you something. That happens once in a while. Mm-hmm. It does. There's times when everybody will think you're doing the wrong thing. There's times that'll happen. But what we do is we take the exception and we try to act like it's the rule. We take the exception and try to act like it's the rule. Most of the time, God works through quiet time, patience, and godly counsel. Well, I have people tell me all the time, you know, God told me to do this and that, you know. All my spirit-filled friends and relatives are telling me that this is a bad move, but God told me. Occasionally there'll be a time when you'll be tested to stand on your own two feet, maybe to do something that every other Christian can't understand. But as a rule, I'm not talking about just professing churchgoers. I'm talking about people that walk in the Spirit. If you have people that walk in the Spirit that you share with them what you're about to do and they're uneasy with it, you need to listen to that voice. And if you don't, you're going to keep hitting your head on the same pole. Now, some of you don't like that, but that's true. You're going to keep hitting your head on the same pole. Seek godly counsel. How many bad decisions are a result of our pride and unwillingness to take instruction? It's the exception. And I've had it. I have had times. I'll tell you something. I have had times when a majority was against me. But I took a year to make the decision. You with me? You've watched me. Come on, is that true or not? I've had times when there have been a majority against me, but I really felt that I was hearing the voice of God. But I took a year to make that decision because that was the reason. I thought, Lord, usually the people that walk in the Spirit are in tune, and they're telling me that they got hesitancy about this. Lord, I got to know it's you. I want to be Noah when I need to be. I want to be Noah when I need to be and go ahead and build the ark, even though everybody thinks I'm crazy. And I do think there is occasion where God will speak to you and not give you good feedback to see if you'll stand on your own two feet. To see if you'll stand. I think occasionally God will do that. The problem is, in the body of Christ, we like to make that the rule instead of the exception. Because we want to make an excuse to do whatever we want. The real truth is that the Holy Spirit works in the body of Christ. And those that walk in the Spirit, there'll be a harmony. They'll be harmony. I was so appreciative of people that I have great confidence in. Came to me in times when I've made difficult decisions, even the last couple of years, and said, Tom, I know this isn't popular with the general public, but I believe you're on track. I've been praying. I believe I said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need that from you. Let's make 2015 a year of better decisions. God-ordered decisions. You're making life. Prayer and quiet time. Patience, and seek godly counsel. I'm finished. Let's stand for prayer.